Okay, very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So now is the 9:30 session where we will have our morning chanting. Since Yantra is here, I think we will do it one small time, the request for five and eight precepts. So what we will do is we will chant the request for the eight precept, but those who take the five precept, you only chant up to five, okay? Because the third precept, Brahmacharya, is a completely abstain from sexual activity, so no different. When you are here, you will keep the precept also, so no need to come in soon with chara and all things. So we will chant the eight precepts. So what Dengdi will do is he will request for the five or eight precepts, then I will administer the eight precepts. Those who take five, you stop at five. Those who take eight, you continue. Okay? So let us do it. We will chant the salutation to the Triple Gemma following the Pali version. Arahang Sammasambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Saṅgho Okay, you all can be seated. Turn to page one of the retreat chanting booklet.
Reverend sisters, let us bow three times with hands joined in Anjali and then recite as a group.
Yeah.
First bow. Second bow. Third. Mayang Mitta, together as a group. Maya mitta ti sarane saham adha silani yachama dutiyati maya mitta ti sarane saham adha silani yachama Tatiyampi mayang mitta ti saranena saha atta silani yacama.
Okay, we will now start by chanting the vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tiam ti sangkang saranang gacchami. Tatiam ti buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiam ti dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiam ti sangkang saranang gacchami. Tisarena gamanang netitang
Amitang.
So now we turn to the next page, where we recite the eight precepts. Those who take five precepts, you stop at five.
Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinagana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Abrahmacharya viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya vachakamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami.
Vitalam bhojanam viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Jatita bhaktita visukha dasana mala gandha vilevana dharana vandana vilusana sthana veramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Uccha sayana maha sayana veramani sikkhapada samadhiyami.
Then I will recite to you all the significance of all this. Imane atta sikkhapadani silena sukanti yanti silena bhoga sampadan silena nibunti yanti tasma silang visote. Then Imani atta sikkhapadani samadhiyami. Imani atta sikkhapadani samadhiyami. Imani atta sikkhapadani samadhiyami. The meanings are, these are the five or eight precepts. Sila or virtue is a source of spiritual happiness. Sila or virtue is a source of true spiritual wealth. Sila or virtue is a source of true spiritual peacefulness of mind. Therefore, let this sila or virtue be kept and purified. Then I undertake these five or eight precepts. Repeat three times, then you all can rejoice together.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, then we will do the morning chanting. Page 5. To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still have compassion for later generations. May these simple offerings be accepted for the long-lasting benefits and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one. Bow. The teaching, so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma, the blessed one's disciple who have practiced well. I bow to the Sangha. And turn to the next page, page 6. Now let us pay primary homage to the Buddha, homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Now let us chant in praise of the Buddha. The Tathagata is the pure one, the perfectly enlightened one. He is impeccable in conduct and understanding, the accomplished one, the knower of the world. He trains perfectly those who wish to be trained. He is the teacher of gods and human. He is awake and holy. In this world, with his gods, demons, and kind spirit, and sages, celestial, and human beings, he has by deep insight revealed the truth. He has pointed out the Dhamma, beautiful in the beginning, beautiful in the middle, beautiful in the end. He has explained the spiritual life of the complete purity in its essence and convention. I chant my praise to the Blessed One. I bow my head to the Blessed One. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One. Can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, leading inwards to the heart, Nibbana. Can be understood by the wise, each for themselves. I chant my praise to this teaching. I bow my head to this. Bow. Now let us chant in praise of the Sangha. They are the blessed ones' disciples who have good conduct, who have upright conduct, who have wise conduct, who have dutiful conduct. These the four pious, eight kinds of noble beings. These are the blessed ones' disciples. Such ones are worthy of gift, worthy of hospitality, of offerings, worthy of respect. They give occasion for incomparable goodness to arise in the world. Sangha, I bow my head to this Sangha. Now let us chant our salutation to the Triple Gem and a passage of encouragement. The Buddha, absolutely pure with ocean-like compassion, possessing the clear insight of wisdom, destroyer of worldly self-corruption, devoted indeed that Buddha I revered. Teachings of the Lord, like a lamp illuminating the path, the pathless, which is beyond the conditioned world, that Dhamma I revered. The Sangha, the most fertile ground for cultivation, realize peace, awaken after the accomplished one, noble and wise, all longing abundant, devotedly indeed, that Sangha I revered. This salutation should be made to that which is worthy, to the power of such good action, may all obstacles disappear. One who knows things as they are has come into this world, and he is an Arahant, a perfectly awakened being, purifying the way, living out of delusion, coming and directing to perfect peace, and leading to enlightenment. This way he has made known. Having heard the teaching, we know this. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness and disease is suffering, and death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering, association with the dislike is suffering, separation from loved ones and our prized possession is suffering, not attaining one's wishes is suffering, implicit. The five agonies of grasping are suffering. These are as follows: identification with the body, identification with the feelings, identification with the perception, identification with mental formation, with consciousness. For the complete understanding of this, the Master One in his lifetime frequently instructs his disciples in this way. In addition, he further instructed, the body is impermanent, healing is impermanent, perception is impermanent, mental formation are impermanent, consciousness is impermanent, the body is non-self, non-self, perception is non-self, mental formation is non-self, consciousness is non-self, all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. There is no sound in the condition and the unconditioned. Okay, wait, we turn back to just now the page. We chant the Pali, yeah? From Rupang Anichang onward. Yeah? So that the Pali word, you will have affinity with them when you hear them in future life. Yeah? Rupang Anichang. Vedana anicca, sanya anicca, sankara anicca, vijnana anicca, rupam anatta, vedana anatta, sanya anatta, Sankara anatta, vijnana anatta, sabbe sankara anicca.
สัตติธรรมะอะนาตาติ
Okay, we continue. All of these, oh, sorry, all of us are bound by birth, aging, sickness, and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair, bound by suffering, obstructed by suffering. Let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The Blessed One, who long attained Parinibbana, is our refuge. So do the Dhamma and the Sangha. Attentively, we follow the pathway of the Blessed One with all our mindfulness and strength. May then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of every kind of suffering. Okay, then the closing homage. We will read the English so that you understand. Every time we chant the Pali. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the Blessed One. Then we chant the Pali. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagavan Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Then the next stanza we chant the Pali first. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. The meaning is, this teaching, so completely explained by the Blessed One, I bow to the Dhamma. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sangham Namami. The meaning is, the Blessed One's disciple, who I practice well, I bow to the Sangha. So all these are very meaningful. Right? These are for our morning chanting. Then there's the evening chanting to develop the faith, the spiritual faculty of Sadha. Then from there, the Virya. Then the Dhamma. The Dhamma is like what is mentioned here. These are very important, essential Dhamma that you have to understand. Then like there is one section, you say we are all bounded by karma, obstructed by karma. That's why we must determine to learn this teaching so that we can liberate our mind. Otherwise, suffering will follow. Then we take refuge and we seek protection, guidance, and blessing from the great beings. Okay, so this devotional practice, they form a very important integral part of the whole cultivation. Initially, when you start your cultivation, you need a lot of faith, sadha. Faith is the one that drives you. In fact, a lot of paramita who has gone through, they will know your teaching. He always emphasizes it. Faith is very important. You must have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. In whoever who guide you, if he is good, have faith in him. Because what we teach, stand up the investigation. Like when I have faith in my teacher, I just believe what he tell me and I investigate into it. And he stand up the investigation. And a lot of things they share with us, if you find it useful, applicable, you should actually try to investigate into it. Then when you stand up to investigation, you will rejoice. Then when you cultivate it, you will progress on your own. Then later on, your nature will come up with new understanding that you have. And from there, you can share it with the world. That's how all this spiritual teaching evolve. Just like the scientists, they have their paper, they write, then their peer review and all those things. But that one is intellect. Whereas spiritual is different. The way I understand it is you really need true teacher or Dharma friends who has the Dhamma to guide you, to teach you. Then together with faith, Sadha, Virya, you strive on with faithfulness to walk this pathway together with other Kayamitra. Then the 10th step of the Abhijja Sutta, they will start. Step 1 is having true Kayamitra friends. Then step 2 is you will have the condition to constantly listen to the true Dhamma. That's why we attend spiritual activity, we attend retreat, we attend our classes, is to share all this so that you develop the causes and conditions for you to constantly listen to the Dhamma. Then you reflect, you contemplate, you develop the faith, deepening of faith, Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, your spiritual faculty becomes stronger and stronger. Then this can be your routine. And chanting and devotional practice are added because we need the faith initially. Then after that, when you have good teacher, you must have faith in them. Then learn, then develop your own understanding. Then when the condition is such, you are ready to be a blessing to all. You are ready to share and teach. The time will come. Then you can share. And when you share, just like my nature, whatever I learn, I share. Then whatever my nature from the past has developed, I also share. This is how the spiritual understanding can be transmitted down to future generation. Then all the bodhisattvas, they do the same. They have their vow, their basic vow. Then the miscellaneous vow, an additional vow, based on their nature's understanding and uniqueness. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. So this understanding is very important. It deepens your faith and it will motivate you to cultivate, to become a true practitioner of Dhamma, worthy of the Buddha. Okay? So let us rejoin. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. We will go through this unit code. I ask you to bring the purple book. You have it? This book? Unit code. Straight from the heart, unique Dhamma code established by Brad Teo, which is me. Okay, we will read through. Basing on some very good feedbacks and suggestions for Kayamitas, we have the condition to listen to who have the condition to listen to Brad Teo's Dhamma sharing over the past 15 years. Brad Teo had agreed to allow his unique code or unique Dhamma code to be compiled into a booklet form for free distribution to all those who have the interest and affinity to receive it. It is also Brad Teo's sincere wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators of the way will be able to make use of this enclosed unique Dhamma code to develop a clearer and better understanding of the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. This unique Dhamma code can benefit cultivators in many ways through acting as clear, important pointers needed for cultivation, and to understand clearly what this awareness or sati-based meditation as taught by the Buddha is. Also to help cultivators of the way understand the true meaning of sati and two aspects of mind. So the two aspects of mind are, we have two minds, the true mind, which is our awareness nature. The other one is the mundane mind, or the thinking mind, or the dependent originating mind, condition arising mind, from that nature it arises. Because the human being is a composite phenomenon, It has a physical body with all the senses and the brain, and it has a consciousness trapped inside. So this entity, the Buddha called the five aggregates of form and mind, Namarupang. The two aspects, as we have gone through, one is the physical body. As a human being, we have a physical body, we have a consciousness. So the physical body is the first aggregate of form, Rupang, Gandhas. Then the mind, the Buddha subdivide into four more aggregates. To understand it, you have to inquire, what can my mind do? Then the answer will be there. So we have the feeling aggregate, Vedana. Then perception aggregate, Sanya. Then we have the Sankara activity, mental formation. Mental activity, or everything that your mind do, that is the aggregate, the third mental aggregate. Then finally, fourth aggregate is Vijnana. Vijnana is consciousness, because as a human being, together with the sense bases and the consciousness inside, it can make contact, the trigger of consciousness. It can make us conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think through the memory. So these four aggregates together with the physical body is the five aggregate of my mind, first aspect. The second aspect is every moment of consciousness upon contact, it triggers the respective sense of consciousness. So as we have already understood from the first aspect, the mind has four aggregates. Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. How does the external form enter the mind? The external form enters the mind through the aggregate of Sanya, perception, where we can perceive it through memory, through our learning, conditioning, belief system, or whatever, or education. Then we perceive it. Then the external form enters the mind. That's why every moment of consciousness, every moment of thought process, there is also the five mental aggregates of form and mind. And that is the second aspect which the Buddha wants you to understand. That is the one that you need to be mindful of. So the final summary, as per the morning chanting, the Buddha summarized, he said, in short, it is this grasping aggregate, the five grasping aggregate, upadana khandhas, that I call dukkha. Because when you grasp at the five aggregate of form and mind through delusion, sakkaya ditthi, wrong view, suffering arises. So the lack of right view will lead to all this heedless thinking, grasping, craving, and whatever, attachment, etc. So this is what we need to understand. Okay, I will read on. As this unique Dhamma code were mostly compiled from the Dhamma sharing and talk delivered by Bradshaw, the text is aligned as closely as possible to his unique style of speech while delivering the talk. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. With this, it is hoped the reader can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. To listen and watch the recorded audio and video file, you can log in to our website at http://brotio.com under repository of Dhamma material, or other audio file, SGBA talk, YouTube video, etc. Or just Google brotio.com. Okay, then acknowledgement. Is the donor's sincere intention that this booklet on the compilation of unique Dhamma code by the Teo be given free to those who are interested and have affinity to receive them? I'd like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all Dhamma friends of Kayamita who had donated and helped out in the compilation, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Ingby, who had taken her own initiative to volunteer to develop the initial draft compilation of my unique Dhamma code for my subsequent editing before enabling this Dhamma booklet to be printed. So we should actually thank Ingby because he collected and recorded 160 overall this unique code. I myself also don't know why I said so many of this code until I received her draft. Oh, then I rejoice. I said, Sadhu. Thank you. Maybe. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and danger. And may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated or helped out in one way or another to realize their good and noble intent or wishes and aspirations as soon as possible with metta always. Yeah? This was printed in November 2019. Yeah? Okay, so biodata, read yourself. The biodata. Oh, never mind, because for those who didn't have my biodata, I just read it because it's a retreat. Yeah? Brad Teo graduated from University of Malaya in civil engineering in February 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner, cum meditator in inverted commas since 1971. Since his retirement from his engineering career in the year 2001, he has been sharing his spiritual understanding and experience of the Dhamma with serious and keen spiritual and Dhamma practitioners and others who are keen in their search for true peace, happiness, joy, and liberation from birth and death and all mental suffering. In our present day society, true peace and happiness is difficult to come by. So it is by your sincere wish that this Dhamma, as taught by the Buddha, can be a great source of very important and useful support to help mankind understand life, thereby liberating their mind from all mental suffering and affliction, and make them more virtuous, nobler, and wiser living beings. It is also relative's hope that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators of the way will be able to make use of this sharing of the truth to develop a better understanding of life, to help others, and be a great blessing to all of humanity. Over the years, he has also counseled and helped many people with severe depression, karmic condition, career, health, marriage, financial, separation, and relationship problems to recover beautifully via his sharing of this rather penetrative Dhamma truth as taught by the Buddha with them. He gives Dhamma talk, conducts Dhamma, come meditation classes and meditation retreat or various meditation centers and places that invited him. He also conducts weekly meditation come Dhamma classes at Wuping Jinsa, Amayana Vihara every Sunday, and at Supang Jaya every Thursday. He also conducts weekly Dhamma sharing discussion with a group of very serious spiritual friends every Tuesday night at his Talingjaya SS2 resident. He also organizes and leads many spiritual calm tour trips to various spiritual places of importance for the Kayamitas. Bhatia was invited to present an international seminar paper on life management with meditation titled Experiences and Success at the international seminar dated 10 to 12 August 2013 held in Bangkok, Thailand. The seminar was co-organized by the World Buddhist University, DBU, and the World Fellowship of Buddhists, WFB, and the Pipahali Varana Mindfulness Center, PMC. His seminar paper on success in life while a meditation as taught by the Buddha can be downloaded from the PDF he published. And Morbi, what is Morbi? Huh? What is Morbi?
The prophet for the Amazon.
Oh, Amazon. Okay, Amazon. Okay. For more detail on Brightio's Dhamma activity and its Kayamita grouping, please log on to the Dhamma website, http://brightio.com. Okay, then we come to the unique code proper. See, the first one is what? Meditation support. The four support for awareness meditation are relax, aware, 24 hours, and trust. So we have gone through this many times. Right? This one is the most important. So relax means what? Relax into every mind state that arises. Naturally aware without thought means it's a free mind. Maintain awareness for as long as you can, if possible, over 24 hours. Trust your inner nature to meditate is the fourth support without the interference of thought. So everything is here. But I want to maybe elaborate a bit more. Yeah, just now before I start, I look at this one. I put here relax. Relax what? Body and mind to develop sati and mindfulness. So when I say relax body and mind, it means you relax into every mind state that arises. You understand? You say you have the tendency to focus, to concentrate, or when you become quite calm, what happens is you know how to relax and maintain awareness. All of a sudden, the sankhara all will slow down, settle down, become more composed. Then when you are in that state, means mindfulness starts to develop. Then you may see nimitta. Understand? Then people get excited. Then sometimes they may see various mental images, yeah? Or what they call some form of light or whatever experiences. Then if you are not careful, you have the tendency to be excited, the joy. Then you focus, you concentrate, you play with it. Then what you are doing is you go into energy field. You must relax into every mind state that arises. Whatever the mind state arises, you relax into it. Like you are very tense. Yeah? You cannot relax. Means the mind has something bothering you. That there is something, stress or whatever. Or you are holding on to something. You worry about something. That's why you become like tense. Not relaxed. Yeah? Or they say kanchong. In English is what? Kanchong. Huh? Not bad. Stress out. But the word kanchong, the meaning is in between panic and stress out. Panic is the other extreme. Anxious, yeah, that is the correct. Anxious. Very good. Anxious. So anxious, then you tend to tense up, understand not? Because you are not relaxed, you worry, you are anxious. So fear, worry, anxiety, yeah, or restlessness of mind, these are all mental hindrances. Or when you have doubt, you are not relaxed. So relax into every mind state is very important. People who do yoga, they know. You have to relax your physical body completely to be flexible, to be aware, to be mindful. That's why the yoga practitioner, they have mindfulness, but they don't know how to use it to develop Dhamma, to develop insight, to develop the cultivation. So they use it for their physical. Yeah? But it's a very good way to calm the mind down. Because people who are not relaxed, they are advised to do yoga. When you do yoga, you practice or you cultivate, develop the ability to relax. Yeah? And you become like very flexible. Yeah? So every time they do that movement, like this morning exercise, yeah, the mindfulness movement, when you do this, you maintain awareness, you maintain mindfulness. Yeah, when you are aware, you cannot think. You don't believe me, you try, you try. That everything you do, you become aware. Every of your movement, you become aware. That's why when my teacher, Jayan Trong, say the highest meditation, the real meditation, is we choose aware. Every action, every movement in the present moment. Oh, my nature straight away rejoins. But that is the real daily mindfulness, sati. So relax into every mind state that arises. When you do that very often, you will calm down, you will settle down. Then your mind has got no issue. Then the body also got no issue. Well, when your mind got no issue, the body is naturally at peace, naturally relaxed, away. Yeah. The problem with normal people is when you are too relaxed, you tend to sleep, fall asleep. So the step two is to prevent you from sleeping. That's why this morning I told Bertil, I said he has improved. I think Suyan will know also. We are in the same room. Last time, the moment he go down, the snoring start. But this time, I realized he maintained awareness for a while, unless he's very tired. But first day, yeah. First day, also not so fast. He did slowly, only, I think after half an hour, one of he goes in. Yeah. First day, I'm probably very tired. He do open all the thing. But second day, last night, second night, anyway, very good already. Much later already, only snore. Then he can maintain awareness. Also, the energy is strong. You can feel the energy. That's why you cannot sleep so fast. PG will feel all the energy. I saw you meditating yesterday at the site there. Why you go there and meditate? Oh, you're too tired. Oh, very good. Yeah. Then when we ask, where are you? Do you hear it? Oh, you're too tired maybe. Yesterday, because I said, never mind, let you lie and take rest. Because the body will know what you want to do. You're very tired, just sleep, don't worry. Don't try to be a hero. Enough rest, then the awareness will come back. Because the moment your body rests and now you are cultivated, the awareness, at the moment you become conscious, the awareness is there. Then after that, you cannot sleep on. The awareness will be maintained. Then you want to relax and let it. Before it goes into the subconscious and the unconscious, on the sleep already at the threshold, you will snore. The moment you snore, the awareness, no, stop it. That's why that first day I told Jin Hao, he was snoring non-stop. So I said, very tired, never mind. You need to rest. You need to rest. Next time go back to the room. But he need to take care of the camera. So he need to stay. So it's okay. Yeah? But you will know. That's why later on, I think you don't hear it already. Yeah? Means he starts to develop the ability to maintain awareness. So awareness-based meditation, please remember, be patient. Initially, relax, you sleep, you snore, never mind, and you have good rest. Later on, when you can do step two, the second support, when you can develop this ability to be aware and at ease, means relax, aware. Don't do anything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. But that trying to do and to know is the thought that is trying. So when thought is active, you cannot be aware. Can flow. Yeah? So this is very important. Maintain awareness. Aware, finish. Aware, whatever arises, aware, finish. Whether through the senses, tactile contact or what, aware, finish. The thought, aware, finish. Sensation, aware, finish. Tactile, aware, finish. Then whatever sense data that imprints your sense basis, aware, finish. Like morning meditation. Most of you find it very easy to meditate just now, the morning, after the mindfulness thing. You settle down very fast. then the stillness within that nature, very fast you go in, you can actually experience the stillness. Then all the chipping of the birds and all the various vibration, whatever, you can hear that very clear. And that clarity is not from the mundane hearing, it's from that nature. No word and thing, but so beautiful, so pristine. Everything is the way it is. Even now you can hear outside. But because you are listening attentively, your attention is here, it's okay. Then that one not so prominent or not so like clear. It's okay. But for me, if I want to hear, I can hear. I just pause, I hear it. That in between, when I don't speak, that nature also here. The background vibration and all those things. So all this is the power of awareness. When you are relaxed and aware, you are sensitive. You can have this ability to be aware. Even but you also know at the breakfast that you say, yeah, you become sensitive. Because when you are aware, you don't think, you are not lost in thought, not preoccupied with other things. That's why your senses are open. Then you are sensitive. You can detect all this very fast. But when you have something in your mind bothering you, worrying you, when people come near and call you also, you don't hear until people hit your back or touch you. Oh, then you suddenly like panic. Oh, you call me. You are thinking or something. Or sometimes you say daydreaming or whatever. So awareness is to reverse all those heedless thinking. So this one, be patient. Let it arise. Then maintain awareness is the third support. To stabilize the awareness nature within. Okay? Then you combine it with that code. That's why the first unique code is to teach you awareness-based meditation. The fourth support. Okay? Then trust is trust that nature to do. That one you do later. Without any interference from the thought. Then the second code is to realize our self nature or the true mind, the awareness nature within. How do you do that? You just silence everything. Silence means no thought, nothing. Then relax, aware, and let it return to its original state. Our true mind, before it stir and become agitated, before sankara activity arise, there was no activity. Completely quiet, still, just aware. So you need to learn how to develop awareness-based meditation. So silent, relax, aware, and let it return to your original state. Then you will realize your true mind or self nature. Actually, if you want to learn awareness-based meditation, you read this book, Unique Code. You will definitely have the understanding. Then number three, meditation is just the silent mind being aware of what is going on within our form and mind. To see the truth of dependent origination or dependent origination clearly and to see things as they are via the direct seeing. This is as simple as it can be. This is what awareness-based meditation is all about. So when you can silence your mind and allow the awareness to be aware of what is going on within, means the silent observation of truth, of the reality within your form and mind, then you will see clearly how you function as a human being, who you are, what you are, the five related tissue, all come from my awareness-based observation of all this. That's why you are not taught, not written in book, I dare to teach you. But this is what I saw, this is what I realized. So all this understanding you can also realize. If you are patient, start with a clean slate, assume you don't know anything, find out, investigate. Okay? Yeah. The next code. Let me have a drink. Pass the mic to Amy. Let Amy help me to read.
Okay.
Help me to read. The code for.
Okay. Number four, meditation. Meditation is very easy when you understand that the natural state of mind before the stirring is the true mind, that meditative silent mind. That is, without thought, you are already aware. So don't have to practice to be aware or try to be aware, because the trying and the practice is by the thought. When thought is active, you are no longer aware, because you are already lost in thought, preoccupied with the thinking.
This is very clear. Huh? Clear or not? That's why I say read this book. Then you will understand. Then you know what to do. You don't just go into meditation without understanding what you are doing in the name of meditation. So this one, number four, is so clear. Huh? So go through it, huh? For those who still haven't developed the understanding. Okay, Ingrid, next one.
Five. Therefore, just relax and maintain awareness and let things be. Then the mundane mind will slow down and return to its original state before the stirring of thinking, to become just aware.
And follow on.
Yeah? Anybody still cannot follow? Janda? Can, huh? Because you seldom attend. Good. You can understand it. It's very good. Okay, next one. Amy.
Six. Meditation, as taught by the Buddha, is to develop a stable sati, leading to heedfulness, to see things as they are, and to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature, namely anicca, dukkha, and anatta, to awaken, thereby realizing the wisdom needed to free our mind.
Very good, sadhu. If you got any question you want to ask, you put up your hand. Eh? You raise, otherwise we will read on. Read on, number seven.
Seven, meditation must be done with understanding.
Mark this down, style. If you don't understand, you're wasting your time. Because you don't know what you're doing during the meditation. So always remember, you must understand what is meditation. Then you will know what to do while doing the meditation. Okay, we go on.
Eight, maintaining awareness. To meditate is very easy. Just relax and maintain awareness, and the mundane mind will slow down until the meditative silent mind returns. With this understanding, you just relax and maintain awareness to develop this awareness-based meditation. Just let things be and don't try to know. The silent mind will develop the understanding and the awakening on its own.
So this has been repeated many times. Right? You must have faith and try it out. Because the understanding doesn't come from thinking. The true wisdom comes from the awareness nature, that insight into phenomena and awaken, or silently observe what is going on, then they develop the awakening and the understanding. Okay, next one.
Nine, the meditative mind. When you are relaxed, aware, and without thought, you are at peace. Your mind is tranquil and still. This is your meditative mind. Your meditative mind is also your self nature, your silent mind. Use this meditative silent mind to be aware of what is happening within your form and mind. It is only through this awareness, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, that one can awaken.
So remember the last sentence. It's only through this awareness, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, that one can awaken. That's why you have to be completely silent, aware, with a very stable awareness nature. Otherwise, you cannot develop the awareness-based meditation to awaken. Next one.
10. To realize profound wisdom. Without thought, Who are you? You are nothing and you are nobody. You are just that awareness nature within. Realize this clearly, then profound wisdom will dawn upon you. 11. Understanding meditation. To meditate is to silence your mind, to be aware of the truth and the reality within the moment, aware of what is happening within your form and mind. It is through this awareness, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, that one can awaken.
Okay, very good. I want you to go back to number 10. Without thought, who are you? This inquiry is very important. Try it out. Although I have given you the answer, but find out in your meditation, without thought, who are you? Does the entity that people call you or give you still there? Let's say Sian, when he meditates in awareness being, without thought, does that idea of Sian or personality of Sian exist inside there? Or when you meditate? Because when you are with the thought, the egoic mind is there. Your entity is always there. The self, the atta, is so strong. That's why I say sakkayaditti, self-delusion, is very difficult to root out. Maybe as an intellectual knowledge, you think you can understand anatta. Non-self, ma, not me, ma. You think that is it? It's when you meditate, when you are fully aware without thought, who are you? What is the answer that I give you? You are nothing. And you are nobody. You can reach that state, in that awareness state. You realize, just that nature inside there. And that one cannot come out and live life. It's not a being, not an entity. You cannot call it by anything at all. Can follow? So this one is very important. Then we move on. Number 12.
Yeah, wisdom. Ability to be at peace with every moment of sense experience and having the ability to resolve all issues amicably is true wisdom.
So this one, you have to remember. You cannot develop this ability, these two abilities, then you don't have wisdom. True wisdom is when you are able to be at peace with every moment of sense experience or every life situation, and you are able to resolve all issues amicably with wisdom, then you truly have wisdom. Otherwise, you don't have the Dhamma wisdom. The next one.
13. Solving problem. No amount of fear, worry, and anxiety can solve your problem because these are negative mind states with the evil roots. To understand, there must be awareness and clarity of mind. Therefore, do not project the wrong thoughts to arise the fear, worry, and anxiety. Instead, develop wisdom and virtue to solve your problem.
So this one is so beautiful. When you read this, you understand you got no more problem in life. But you need to have awareness and clarity of mind to develop understanding. When you have problem, most people, what is the first thing they do? They panic first, then they worry, they become very anxious. That's why fear, worry, anxiety all immediately manifest. But will it help you? It won't help you, isn't it? That's why I said no amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, or lamentation can help you. But these are evil roots, roots of all evil, make you evil, cause your energy field to be very negative. And it can cause yourself to mutate. It can bring about downfall in your immune system. That's why people become diseased. They develop stress, depression, everything. Then when you are in that state, your mind is very weak. Because that fear actually, it is a very negative energy field. You experience fear before you will know that it's like killing you, that type of energy, that fear. All your cells, I tell you, is going to become abnormal, mutate, because that type of eerie, type of fearful energy. You know, that fear really intensifies into your whole being. So whatever happened, accept the reality of the moment first. Because causes and conditions already there, you have to be at peace. Otherwise, you get into trouble. But when you are at peace, the whole scenario changes. Yeah, you got no more negative tendency, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. You say, I accept that this is the reality. Cannot be otherwise. So when I accept, I'm at peace. There is clarity. There is a calm mind. Then I reflect. I contemplate. What actually happened? Then when I understand, I apply the Dhamma, I move. How can I resolve all this amicably? Following the word book. That's how you do it. Understand? That's why I say you must develop awareness and clarity of mind to see all this, the foolishness of holding on to that fear, worry, anxiety that normal people do. The non-Dhamma practitioner, the unenlightened one, they always develop the fear first, the worry, the anxiety, or panic. And a lot of people suffer panic attack because of the intense fear. So this solving problem 13 is very, very powerful, very important. So you can apply all this, you become beautiful, you can be a blessing to all. Any question? Anything to add, anybody? Don't have to be more on 14.
14. Develop wisdom or right view to accept the reality of the moment so that you can be at peace with a calm and clear mind to help you move on. Resolve issues amicably following the Noble Eightfold Path.
Yeah, exactly like what I advised just now. Huh? Then number 15.
15. Whenever one is not peaceful and unhappy, the evil roots, greed, hatred, delusions are there. This is the best way to check one's cultivation.
So always remember, if you are aware, very fast you detect one. Whenever you are unhappy, not peaceful, the evil roots are there. The wrong thoughts are there. Means you already not relaxed. You already not peaceful, not aware. You are having problem. That's why you think a lot, you worry a lot. Okay? Next one.
16. Develop mindfulness well so that you are sensitive enough to notice all this fine and subtle and negativity of mind state.
16 is a continuation, like I always say. Without mindfulness, you are as if dead. Really, you are not sensitive to life. That's why when you are mindful, develop mindfulness well so that you are sensitive enough to notice all the fine and subtle negativity or emotion within you, within your mind state. This is how you cultivate, not through thought, through theory, through intellectual understanding or concept of what the Dhamma is. You can quote people, quote the text, quote everything, like very intellectual, very scholarly. No point, where you cannot make it a living reality. So this is what the true Dhamma is. When you have developed mindfulness well, then only you have the sensitivity to be aware of all those very fine and subtle movements. Then where you can detect the slightest unhappiness, or lack of peace, you straight away know already the evil roots are there. That's why a cultivator cannot be affected anymore. But they have this ability. So whenever something, initially I remember, something like wants to make you go and think the old way, you feel it. You cannot really. You cannot react like last time already. Become emotional, angry, fearful. Cannot really. Because you straight away understand. No point. Sankara anicang, sankara duktang. All of sankara is important. They come and go. Not really what you think. Then if you hold on to it, grasp on to it, cling on to it, and give meaning, you suffer. That's why all this understanding, yoniso manasikara, will spontaneously arise at the heart area. Then the awareness with that thing, it cannot move. This is the real cultivation, awareness based, that wisdom, yoniso manasikara, spontaneously arise. So you see the big difference. It's not going to recall to memory, oh, what did Bharatiya say? What did the Buddha say? What must I do? But then you, from memory, you want to act, oh, cannot be angry. Anger is an evil root. So I yawn, I don't want to be angry. You do like that, you are dead. You are suppressing your emotion without understanding. That's why awareness based and thought based, it works apart. Totally different. Okay? The next one.
17. If one can accept the reality of the moment with wisdom, then one can always be at peace. 18. If one can accept the reality of the moment with wisdom and move on, then one will not suffer.
You see the difference between the two or not? 17 and 18. Huh? The first few lines is the same. Huh? If one can accept the reality of the moment with wisdom, say, then one can always be at peace. Yeah. If you can always be at peace alone, doesn't mean you don't have suffering. You understand? The second one is, you will have the ability to move on. Then you will not suffer. But the one at peace cannot move on. Understand? Not? You understand? Not?
Haven't rooted out.
He said, I have the wisdom to accept the reality of all. Yeah, but you say, ma, accept them for what they are. Ma. But actually, inside still goes on. Understand? Not? Then you think, oh, yeah, never mind. He is like that. Yeah, don't know. Actually, inside still there. So, you can be at peace. So, wow. But you cannot solve your problem. You cannot move on, understand? When you can move on with wisdom, you will not suffer. That's why 17 and 18, you think same. Very different. So when you cultivate, when you live your life, you check yourself. Yeah, this is my nature when through life, then I realize this is what is happening to humanity, to a lot of people. Okay? Yeah, go on, the next one, Amy.
Can I add a bit?
Yes, can. Anything
on,
you want to add, can, no problem.
Move on, get, have a sense of forgiveness also.
Yes, yes, yes. It's inside there, yes.
Yeah, no more suffering.
Yeah, no more suffering. Otherwise, you cannot move on at all. You say, accept him for what he is, but actually, inside, you didn't accept. That's right. You didn't forgive him. You didn't have the wisdom to understand that he is the way he is. Because of his karmic conditioning behind, because of his condition at that moment, his views, his opinion, his conditioning, then he tend to have that type of behavior, karmically conditional. That's why the Buddha said, he is born of his karma, heir to his karma, condition has put away. Even our loved one, you have to accept that reality. Like I always say, they have their karma, their life, let them live, understand or not? Let them make the decision. Don't everything also, kanjong, kanjong. My son, no, my daughter, no, I cannot let him go like that. He will go the wrong way. You go and do that. You interfere. You cannot solve the problem. Then they are lying. You like it or not? Your duty is advice. Whether they listen or not, there is condition or not for them to understand and listen. Just let things speak. That's why when there is no condition, forget about it as a son. That's why this one I remember in we also learned. At first he also want Jin to change, come to the Dhamma class. Later on no more problem. In we lay oil, No problem. You must make the discussion more interesting. When you interact, the daily life will come up.
On the topic of moving on also, what comes to mind is the part of that we need to move on about is to actually root out the wrong thought that sparked the whole situation. Like you say, my daughter shouldn't do that, my son should. It's actually the avijja that started the whole cycle, that defilement at the root of it is that sakaya ditti, the ego that said, I don't want my son to do that. My daughter shouldn't do that. I need to control him so that he don't make the mistake. Oh, this is the ego inside the sakaya ditti, that the avijja, if that can be rooted out, then next time you won't expect him to behave how you want him to be, or expect her to behave how you want to be. Then that is when really moving on.
The wisdom surface. Why? Because the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by, we are what we are with our karma. So your son also said, your daughter also said, everybody in this universe, they are subject to that law, law of karma. So they have their own karmic condition. They are only your children because of certain affinity and condition that brings about that relationship. Who know in the past, there is karmic debt. They come and ask for karmic payments. Understand? Tou zai wan zai. Then you say, my son, ma, my daughter, ma, what can I do? You willingly let them squander all your wealth and your money. Well, in the past, you must have cheated them or squandered from the other people. So you reap what you sow. Do good because you do ill. So when you see all this, you understand with the number, then you let things be. If their condition is such, meant to be, will be. If it's not meant to be, it will not be. So ability to be at peace demands a lot of understanding, a lot of wisdom. Like Amy realized, if you can forgive, you free yourself, then you can move on, understand? But if you say, yeah, lah, you go and quote, but still say, accept them for what they are just the way they are. But you say inside not happy, understand? But when you can have the Dhamma understanding, they are just the way they are, then you feel that last time, the wrong view, like Sui said, you have to root it out, the avijja, the sakayaditti. So that ego is the one that trigger all the attachment that cling to the children. Then even other people also. Because the way you perceive him is with negativity. That's why you store your mind, you react. But when you can accept him for what he is, means like, even they did something very bad in the past, like we say, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing, like Jesus. So once you forgive, the anger, the hatred, the wrong perception is all rooted out. Then you can be at peace. Then you can even smile at them, acknowledge them. You don't have to avoid them and feel like not natural when you are in front of them. You understand? Thing is just the way it is. Why you allow your thought to make things so difficult, so stressful? Life can be so meaningful, so beautiful. Just echo and flow, just live. Okay? Yeah. Go on, thing is. Pass the scene.
Professor, I just want to share one case that I came across. It's a friend, and she has already separated from the husband. So I said, how are you doing? He said, I've already forgiven the bastard. So I told her, your mouth has forgiven,
but you cannot forget.
But your heart has not forgiven.
They cannot forget it. Like the pastor said, easy to forgive, very difficult to forget it. Means they contradict themselves, you understand? Yeah, very good. That was also very good. Okay, anything else? Okay, English continue. 19 is a
19.
Follow up.
Acceptance is wisdom. When you can accept the reality of the moment and do not stir your mundane mind, there is no fear, no anxiety, and you will also not blame others. Your mind is quiet, leading to clarity of mind. With this, you can resolve all life issues and problems amicably, following the Noble Eightfold Path, and move on with your life smoothly.
See, all this are making it clearer and clearer and clearer so that you know how to act, so that you know how to develop the cultivation. But this one is not a theory. Please don't go and memorize it and think that this is the answer, that every time got problem, recall to memory. Yeah, but they say like that, like that. Then you try to be in that state. That is not the right way. The right way is you develop mindfulness, awareness. See all this, understand all this, awaken. Then you will never do all these things anymore. But this is a hopeless way, foolish way, lead to suffering, misery. Your life, if you don't love yourself, you don't value your life, you will not take care of yourself. So the form and mind has its own karmic condition and reality. You must take care of karma. Take care of karma means take care of your life. When you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. That is how you should understand life. Then you can move on. Because I used to tell you all, although everything is anicchang dukkhang anatta, not real, not what you think. But there is such thing as life, existence. That's why you must have the Dhamma wisdom to resolve your life issue, to understand karma, to understand the unconditioned and the conditioned, to have the Dhamma understanding of both sides. Then you can live. Then you can experience the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. So this is a living Dhamma. This is related to life. But to have all this wisdom and understanding to act as what I have said, you need awareness to develop the direct seeing, the awakening, the understanding. Then you can root it out one by one. Then when you root it out, it's not a theory. It's you saw. It's like somebody cheat you. You saw how he cheat you. You can still trust him. You cannot trust him, you understand? That's why you cannot go back to the old way already. No way already. The reactive, the stirring of the mind that feels opinion, habitual tendency very quickly, like they call it what? Very mechanical. Before they even say, you already like machine gun want to shoot already. And so, because you got ready all your answer inside there now. You last time also like that. You talk so much. You comment. But you last time also like that. Inside there you have been contemplating, reflecting all the thing that you shouldn't be contemplating, because they are not the right thought. This one is how to fight back, how to take revenge. Next time I see he say this again, I'm going to throttle him like that, like that. This is the yoni so manasikara type of contemplation, you know. Understand or not? Not the yoni so, you know. So the yoni so also equally powerful, and you will go into it. That's why, please, people get into argument and misunderstanding it because they go and plan all this, understand? They go and remember, this guy, I remember, he did all this to me, right? Thousand more. Oh, next time if he say this again, I'm going to tell him or I'm going to shoot him. So all the ammunition, the bullet all there. Oh, that's why sometimes before he even start up, especially between neighbors or between people whom you don't like and other things. Yeah, what? Husband and wife. Yeah. English. Sorry, but mostly say husband and wife. Safa chong, is it? yeah. Same.
It's very, very funny when you bring it up because yoniso manasikara will actually prompt you to think of all the ammunition, how to make sure you can pacify him instead of actually you can use the contemplation to open him.
Yeah.
That's why don't go and do the negative one. Ayonisom, that's it. Okay, good. Read it on.
Okay.
Yeah. Pamasri also wants to share something. Okay.
Why I say between husband and wife, because this morning I almost startled him. Because I've been packing all the necessary medication for him, put on the table, ask him to pack. He has not been packing. But at last he packed. And then this morning he come and tell me he doesn't have a hand sanitizer. So I almost want to startle him already, but the break. It breaks there.
Yeah.
The thing breaks.
Because your awareness come in. This one, the awareness come in is the unisomonous thing come in. Through the thought, the awareness come in. I cannot. But your unisomonous kara is different. Spontaneously, this one will prompt you. Is it? Sankara anichang, sankara dukkang. He is just the way he is. Then he will smile to you. Oh, okay. Then no more problem. But this one, you almost thought of him is that thing actually still habitual tendency still running out. But your awareness aware, then you know this is not right. That's why it slowed down and it didn't move.
20. Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, because cultivating it will lead to the end of all suffering. That is the fourth noble truth. 21. If the meditation does not bring you back to the noble eightfold path cultivation, that is not the teaching or meditation as taught by the Buddha.
So this one is very important. A lot of people who do energy field, one pointedness, absorption, everything, they end up deviating because there is no noble eightfold path inside them. Is just focusing, concentrating, creating all the psychic ability. So as a check, whatever meditation you do, if it does not bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, that is not the teaching of the Buddha. Okay?
22. Truth, all the three universal characteristics of nature, is everywhere. It is in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they will always see. 23. The real samadhi, ability to have the meditative silent mind while in the midst of life, is real samadhi.
This is very true. You can be stable, means your mind unwavering, not affected by anything that goes on in the daily life. That is true samadhi. That's why samadhi is normally defined as when your mindfulness has stabilized until it's unshakable, unwavering. Understand? Unshakable and unwavering. Means it is very stable. That is samadhi. That samadhi born of wisdom is what? Upeka. Understand? Equanimity. For equanimity to be there, to be at peace with all things, you need wisdom behind. Initially, you need samadhi to make your mind stable, steady, unwavering. Yeah? Then, unshakable. Yes? That mind which is unwavering is very important. At the moment of sense experience, it doesn't waver. It doesn't stir. It doesn't react. Then you can see things as they are. Even when people say something you don't like to hear, but because you have samadhi, you can see things as they are. Then when you see things as they are, suddenly it awakens inside you. He is the way he is. He has negative tendency. Angry people do angry things. Then you can accept at peace. But if you don't have the ability to be in that state of samadhi to see, to develop this wisdom, what happens is, you straight away react and stir your mind. Understand? You will argue with him. You straight away affected by what he said. Then you either want to counter or you come out with your argument and all those things. Then conflict arises, misunderstanding. It's because you lack samadhi. You cannot see things as they are to understand what is going on. So when there is samadhi before the wisdom surface, It's very helpful. That's why sati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are, I always say. And that develops panya. When there is panya, samadhi and panya become upeka. That's why equanimity of mind. You cannot stir, cannot react, cannot do all those foolish things anymore. So the last factor of enlightenment, upeka, is after the wisdom has arisen. So you look at the seven factors of enlightenment. The first few we have gone through, you need sati, the first one, enlightenment factor. Without sati, you cannot move. Because the next few, in fact, all need sati. The next one is dhamma vichaya, investigation of dhamma. Without sati, you cannot investigate. Then you cannot investigate, you cannot confirm the Buddha's teaching is true. It doesn't stand up to investigation. If it doesn't stand up to investigation, your faith cannot be strong, that's all. Cannot be unshakable. But when your faith is very strong, when you see the things stand up to investigate, you go all out to cultivate. Then you develop what? Virya, understand not? That all out to cultivate is virya. That is a third enlightenment factor. Then when there is virya, you will develop sati. The first enlightenment factor become more refined, more stable. Then as sati develop, piti will arise naturally. When your mind settle down and become calm and peaceful, there is piti. Piti is the fourth enlightenment factor. Then when piti becomes so refined, when you continue to relax into it and maintain awareness, it becomes paucity. Understand? What is paucity? Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. That is your true mind. That is your silent mind. Then stabilize that. It becomes your awareness nature. It develops into samadhi, the sixth enlightenment factor. You understand? The sixth enlightenment factor is the one that allows you to see things as they are and awaken. That's how panya comes to be. Then upeka, the last enlightenment factor, will unfold. So these seven factors of enlightenment that the Buddha taught, they are very, very beautiful. And you will understand it when you cultivate it. It will surface by itself. Like the step 9 of the Abhijja Sutta. The seven factor of enlightenment keep on arising. Then you know you're on the right path. You keep on seeing the enlightenment factor. Then especially the seventh one, when there is this upeka, very strange, very strange. You know? That upeka enlightenment factor, it doesn't move at all. No. You can even laugh at it. You know? People make joke on you, say nasty things, but you can also laugh at it. You can be happy, whatever, not important. Understand? Because the equanimous mind that has wisdom understand what is going on. Condition world, condition dhamma is like that. Understand? Each year you wave up. Everything is conditioned dhamma. He know you, he know me. There's like no mark of self, no mark of others, no mark of dhamma. You will understand all this. Huh? Then the three hallmarks of healing all become very clear. This is what the actual Dharma cultivation is all about. Awareness based, not knowledge and thought based. Okay? Yeah. Continuing.
24. Understanding duality. The moment one can accept the reality of the moment, one doesn't create the duality of right and wrong, good and bad, etc. to stir the mind. This is how mind activities can cease and return to its original state of inner peace, silence, stillness, and tranquility before the stirring. 25. Right view. When one can accept people for what they are and the world as the world, then there is right view. There is wisdom because things are just the way they are, following nature's laws. 26. Ability to see things as they are means one can understand that nature is suchness, for things are just the way they are within the conditioned world, and everything within it are causal phenomena and condition arising dhamma. When conditions are like that, things will be like that.
So this 26, you have to pay attention. If you understand this, means you understand each year you wait for. Understand everything is conditioned. Your condition dharma depend on what? Depend on condition for its arising. So if everything is condition arising, dependent originating, then what is it? It is not what you think. There is no reality. Even the human being, the living being, they are dependent originating. Condition is a phenomenon. It comes because of the causes and conditions. Where causes and conditions cease to be, you say dead, gone. Then every segment of your life is like that. Come and go, come and go. Which one is you? None of them are you. Understand? That's why I see this clearly. When conditions are like that, things will be like that. Like what the Buddha said. Whatever that arises, there are forces and conditions behind. It's not he make it like that at all. It's nature, understand not? Without those causes and conditions, things will not be what it is today. Understand not? Like our retreat. If Ajahn Sufu didn't give us the compassionate consent to have the silent unofficial, we will not be here. Even though he gave us, we need to make effort to come. There are some who still cannot come, understand not? There are some who are not supposed to come, also come. Understand? So everything is causes and conditions. Meant to be will be, not meant to be will not be. So all this, when you are a cultivator of the way, when you have mindfulness, awareness, you start to see clearly everything is just the way it is that the Buddha explained under the Paticca Samuppada, the law of dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So all this, you will start to develop deep understanding. Now, then you realize all the teaching by the true teachers like J. Krishnamurti, Yerbayan Kati, they use the word what is. What is actually the truth, the reality, understand? So when they say, we cannot argue with what is, like Bayan Kati said, that you argue, you suffer. You go against, you suffer. It's just like the Buddha's teaching. You cannot get what you want, you suffer. Well, nature's law is the one that governs life and existence. If one thinks your way, which is not nature's way, what happens? You suffer, isn't it? So this is what conditioned dhamma is all about. Conditioned dhamma means there is this nature's law that governs causes and conditions. Even Newton's law is the same. To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. But that is for physical things. Our karmic law is the moral causation. There is also a cause and effect. But the moral causation, which is the mental intention, is involved. When there is mental intention involved, it becomes karmic, understand? That's why it is subject to this law of karma, karma niyama. So all this understanding, when you stabilize them, you become different. Then the right view up there also very important. When one can accept people for what they are, the world as the world, then there is right view. This one come out from my own understanding. I share it with you all so that you save time. No need to look for it.
About the world is the world, and then everything has its causes and conditions. Brought up an interesting conversation I had when I mentioned that, then the friend actually told me, oh, like that, you everything also don't do everything for top condition like that, ma. But then I realized that is also a misconception. But it was a very interesting thing. I mean, what the Dharma has taught me was that conditions are like that, so don't force it. Use Noble Eightfold Path to try to introduce conditions by suggesting maybe ways to improve with in a positive manner, in a soft, gentle, kind manner. However, if that suggestion gets rejected, we shouldn't be disappointed. That was, for me, that was according instead of let it be wrong, then wrong.
You know what happened or not? In fact, in this world, a lot of people are like that because they use the intellect, the thought process, the knowledge, is it? Like that, everything, because Brother Teo say, let things be, ma. Accept them for what they are, ma. Please understand. When I say that means to be at peace first, understand? After that, you act and move. Doesn't mean that everything is already fixed, predestined, understand? Of course, you don't take care of karma, 99.999% is karmically conditioned. Actually, you cannot make a difference to your life. But the wise one with understanding, with wisdom, they can make a big difference to their wife. Sorry, to their life. To their life, not to their wife. So when they cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, means they walk the path of Dhamma to actually develop their karmic nature and spiritual nature. Then when they come, they become different. But you explain this to them, they cannot understand. What? No use. This can only be understood by cultivator of the way. To them, you must tell them like that. The past conditions the present. Understand? No? Past causes and conditions. But it does not dominate over you. Understand? No? This one, karmic thing in the past, it conditions, like the Buddha say, you're born of karma, heir to karma. So at this moment, yeah, it keeps on coming. Understand? No? But it does not dominate over you. Why? Well, from now onward, moment to moment, you can decide to an understanding, to Dhamma wisdom, to change your life. Instead of being heedless, you change over to cultivate virtue, wisdom, wholesomeness, to transform your life. And this is what your future will become different. This is how you change. So to answer to his friend is very easy. When I ask you to accept, doesn't mean don't do anything. That one is your view. Because you could without understanding. There are causes and conditions. Thing is just the way it is already. Mencho minkyalo. Kepul. For what? This is not the understanding that we have. Our advice is, at that moment when things is already happened, like car accident, you want to argue, you want to blame, you want to kill and fight, just over right and wrong, that is your choice, one way. By doing that, what happens? You don't resolve things amicably, you get into big trouble. If that fellow violent, you may be harmed, you may be killed also. So that is not the way to solve. It's just like when things happen already, you get angry, emotional. You say, that bastard, he shouldn't. Does it help you? It doesn't, understand? That's why I say, accept the reality means at peace first. Then your mind is not agitated and clouded by all these negative emotions, understand? By all this unhappiness, envy, jealousy, hatred, frustration, all this gone. Like just now the other quote. So when you don't have this negativity, then you are at peace, you have clarity. Then you can see things clearly. Then you ask yourself, what happened? Then you inquire, how can I resolve this amicably? That's how the Noble Eightfold Path comes in. That's how Sui Solution comes in. Means, with clarity, then only I can see and understand. Then I'm not conditioned by my views, opinion, conditioning, habitual tendency, and all the very rigid argument that I accumulated through Ayoniso Manasikara, understand? Then you become a Dhamma practitioner, understand? Because that is the reality. Why I want to argue with reality? Causes and conditions are things mean I accept. Accept doesn't mean I don't want to do anything, understand? Accept him for what he is means let him do his go his way. I never say he's right or he's wrong, understand? He's just the way he is. He behaves like that, his karmic will fall. Yeah. He is born of his karma. If he chooses that type of life, let it be. Even if he's your children or one, that is his choice. But you have to warn him as parent. If you understand the nature's law, if I were you, I wouldn't do it. Why? Well, whatever you do to people, you think you're very arrogant, you are in the position of power and all that. Do you know the law of karma is you reap what you sow? Do good because good do evil. Whatever you do to people in future, you become the victim, you cannot. You want to know. You want to be harassed by people. You want to be condemned by people? You want to face all these things or not? This is what you do to fear. You cause suffering, you cause misery, you cause intense fear. You may like, because you are in power. You say, I don't care. You tell the HR, sack this fellow. 24 hours, I want him to be sacked. You can do that. But that is coming, understand? No? Because you are insensitive to how they suffer, their fear, their insecurity, their agony. Then it may affect the whole family. And this coming has its repercussion. When it comes back, you will become the victim and you will go through a similar type of fear, insecurity, anxiety. If this is not what you want, you better stop all this. That's why when you act, when you live life, there is this duty towards the form and mind as well. Your karmic duty. That's why the enlightened being, they have right duty. They understand this law. They will never do things negatively. That's why I use the word resolve issue problem amicably. Means doesn't affect your karmic, doesn't affect other people's karmic. Understand? That is what the Dhamma is. Accord and flow in harmony with nature. Not to go against. Whatever you want, you make aspiration, create the causes and conditions, then diligently work towards it. That is how the nature's law can give rise to all those causes and conditions in the future. That's why take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. Your karmic nature support your life. You are born of it, every condition, and you are what you are. And all this you have to reflect condemnably until it stabilizes in you. Then you have the full understanding that whatever happens to the world, whatever people say, you can have the understanding that you can help people. You can resolve issues. That's why whoever come to me, I can help them. But whether they understand or not is another thing.
27. Only mindful observation without clinging or rejecting can bring about understanding or wisdom born of the direct seeing via the silent mind. When one can observe in this way, it is a genuine free mind without any craving. A free mind in stillness, which is just aware with understanding.
You see, this quote is so beautiful, but not easy to understand. You look at the first part. Only mindful observation without clinging and rejecting. What is clinging and rejecting? Clinging, yes. We are positive and negative, anasana. Means you already apply your views and opinion and habitual tendency when you observe. So if you observe with that type of mind, are you observing? You are not observing already. You perceive the situation already. It means you cling, you attach. Or the other word I use is reject. It means you don't agree, don't accept. It means you are not listening. You are expressing your own opinion, your own habitual perception of what things should be. So when you do that, it's not a free mind. So you cannot see clearly. Like you want to observe a kid. You want to understand what is the talent behind, what his karmic path is. You should silence everything without prejudice, without attachment, clinging or rejecting him. Observe him. Then you find he very cute. Understand? But before you can observe, you are so like temper, so protective of the kid. Before he walk and fall, you panic already. Oh, boy, don't. Then, as he grow up, the boy got some bad habit. You scold the boy. I know what you want to do. Cannot. Is that the way to observe the kid? Sometimes he has talent you don't know. You let him play, let him make mistake. Understand? Let him get into trouble. At the end of the time, you go and talk to him. And then he learn. The boy will learn. Especially hot thing. Because kids, when they are young, they like to touch everything, throw and do all those things. And then one day, What I did was, I tell my brother, bring the pot hot on, not very hot, but let him touch. The moment he touched, he cried. Then after that, even cold pot you bring near, he also run away. He don't trust you. This is memory, understand? So when you observe the art of observation, the art of seeing, you see and observe with the silent mind in pure awareness, means without interference from the memory, your views, opinion, and condition. That's why here at that time, because you all cannot understand memory, I use just these two words, without clinging or rejecting. Like what Amy said, positive and negative emotion. When you don't have that, then it can bring about understanding and wisdom. Then you see things as they are, exactly how that kid behaves, or how that causes and condition unfold, how through the wrong view you stir, and you become the anger, the emotion, the fear, the anxiety, the envy, the jealousy. How you become like that? That is becoming. Then when you see all this, you realize, this is not the way to act, understand now? Then you reflect and contemplate. How should I act? Is there anything in the Buddha Dharma, in the teaching, that teach me how to act? That's why I help you all to solve the problem by quoting to you what the Buddha said. Learn to see things as they are, understand now? Learn to understand paticca samuppada, causes and conditions. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So all these words are very simple, but very deep in its meaning and very powerful. That's why when you observe, always remember, be at peace with awareness. When your awareness is very stable, even the memory, the habitual tendency, try to come and interfere, you're aware of it. Then you will know it. This is how the old way create the wrong view, create the stirring of the mind, the emotion, the wrong understanding, then give rise to misunderstanding, conflict, and lack of harmony. That is not the way to act. That is not the way to understand things. That's why you work through that. Tell yourself, I will not perceive things the way the memory conditioned me into. I will not apply my views, opinion, and conditioning or belief system to speak, to act, and to argue. We have no point. Understand? The reality is. So when I understand all this, I straighten my view. I learn to accept things the way it is. Thing is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. That's why I learn to see things as they are. So if I have the understanding, I straighten my view, then the next time I perceive the same phenomena or the same perception, then I will not intervene with the wrong view. I will come to terms with the reality, to accept the reality of the moment. Means he is just the way he is. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish. So all this understanding was stabilized. Then as it stabilized, your wisdom become more stable. Then as it become more stable, you realize in the future, it cannot stir it. The old habitual tendency like rooted out of it, just like Po Cheng said. You cannot do already, understand? Your insight become different already. Where you have sin, it's foolish, it's stupid. It's delusion. That's why you cannot do one. So even in the Ratana Sutta just now, last night in Vichai, you can look at the back. He said even a Sotapanna, he cannot break the five precepts and one more thing I forgot, it is six, don't know what. Rice and meal, the first three fetters gone. But he also mentioned the six one. He cannot do already. You realize or not? Because the one that awakened through the awareness nature has this wisdom. It cannot. Like I don't know more how to cheat, not more how to break the precept. Cannot one. Why you want to do that? It's not worth it, understand? That's why he will show it to you, keep on showing it to you until You have the understanding one. You cannot go back and violate already. You cannot. But it's so clear. It's like seeing a cobra. Understand? You trust the cobra. Yeah, a cobra is a cobra. Understand? But out of fear, you attack you. But you silent, maintain awareness, no fear. Then you will move away. Understand? So they are animal. Animal means they are not trained. They don't have mindfulness. They don't have awareness. They want survival. Survival means what? If they sense fear, they will attack you. Because they know you have fear, like the dog. No, he attack you. But if you are more fierce than him, or you can be at peace, look at him, he cannot sense your fear, he dare not come after you. So they are animal. They have instinct. So you have to understand all this. Okay? We move on.
28. What is thought? Thought is response to memory. Thought is limited.
So this one we have gone through, that thought is limited. You know why it's limited, isn't it? Because initially we are spacious awareness. Our nature, awareness nature, is spacious awareness. This is our nature, spacious awareness. So from the spacious awareness, our mind is oneness, the spacious awareness. What happened is, how do you create a thought? You need to perceive something, then only the thought arises. Like you look at the Buddha image. Then your whole spacious awareness shrink into that small space, okay? Whatever you want to visualize or perceive. So this small space that you perceive, space, small space, this one is from the spacious awareness, it shrink into a small space. That's enough. Then you input your content of consciousness. Once you do this, these two become a thought. This one is the receptacle. Receptacle means the vijnana, pure vijnana. So this receptacle receive the content, understand? Then it become a thought. Okay? So from spacious awareness, it has shrink and become a small space. That's why this thought is trapped inside this space, understand? So this space is limited because whatever you think is within this content, understand? You perceive it. You go and create further thinking or verbalization or even proliferation of thought. It's all deal with only this one. You are not aware of what is happening outside. That's why thought is limited. And this one cannot understand what is outside. So when you use thought, you are trapped within that limit. So thought in egoic is limited in its own ability to understand things. That's why it cannot be aware of what is going on outside of it. But it is always lost in thought, preoccupied with the content inside here, understand? Too busy thinking and thinking and thinking, understand? When you are deep in your thought, means you have problem, you are not able to be aware of what is going on. You are not sensitive. Your senses are all not sensitive. Then you are inside that thinking, you may arise fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, etc. So this is what is going on. That's why your mind state become full of negative emotion, rubbish. And this is what you carry in your memory. Understand? You create thought, you think about it. If you don't have wisdom, it becomes a yoniso manasikara, you accumulate. And what you accumulate? All these negative fears, psychological. Then later on, you will have phobia. That's a phobia, trauma, phobia, A-U-M-A. So all this will be the result, understand? Then when you have a lot of this negative emotion, you will develop scars of memory. Scars of memory. So this scars of memory is what you accumulate inside there that trigger fear, worry, anxiety. Because these are traumatic things that happen to you when you are young or when you experience certain situation in life. So a lot of the nightmare, everything is from this scars of memory, like child abuse and all those things, people who go to rape and all those things. Because these are very traumatic, from trauma, ego, scars of memory, that fear intensifies. So all this. So now you understand why thought is limited. From spacious awareness, you shrink to the small area where you perceive. Then you input the content. You are preoccupied with that thinking, that emotion, that stirring, that whatever conditioning inside there. That's why thought can never understand truth. That's why the real Dhamma, truth, is beyond thought, beyond mind. The thought is so limited. How can you free? So here I say, what is thought? Thought is response to memory. Why? Without memory, is there any thought? You look at the child, newborn. No thought. Very naive, very innocent. No cunning thing. So thought is response to memory, obvious. Without memory, like you see something that you have not been trained or taught before. You don't know how to name it, understand? You don't know how to label it. Then you cannot create a thought out of it. What is this? You don't have a word, a concept of it. So you cannot create a thought out of it. You can only ask, hey, what is this? Haven't seen before, haven't heard. Whatever that is unknown, the thought doesn't understand. You understand? Thought is of the known, like the dead leaf is of the past. It's never within the moment. That's why it cannot see truth. Truth is within the moment, there and then. So all this understanding is very well. So I put here, thought is response to memory. Thought is limited. That's why it cannot understand the unknown. It cannot understand what is within the moment. It is of the past. It's always memory, memory, memory.
Okay.
Yeah.
I totally agree with your spacious awareness, Bertie, because like for my mother, I got for her 49-inch TV. Then after I got for her a tablet, which is 16-inch, bigger one. And she still emphasized using watching her Chinese drama using the handphone. So I was wondering why. So,
yeah.
And every time when I go up KL, or especially like this recent trip I come up to Cameron Island, suddenly her leg will go swollen. Then, then after today, her leg, okay.
Yeah.
So I was like seeing the pattern that Bertio mentioned for content. And she has a fear. And I
just,
she has a fear.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a trauma and causes her leg to swollen up.
Yes. That is true, very true.
So the flow is very true, but still.
Because that craving, that desire, if it's very strong, especially your mother towards you, yes, he loves you so much, he wants you to be with him, don't want you to be away for so long. So that negative thought also has its power, like a pure vision. Understand? So it can cause it to swallow. Then you think he tells you, actually, no. You know, this is also part of your coming obstruction. You know? They don't want you to come. And you saw like Manjuan, where is Manjuan? You ask her before she come, actually a few days before the trip, I think that Thursday class, she said, Bertie, I got something to discuss with you. You don't mind I share this? He said, Bertie, sorry, I cannot attend. I said, why? My parents don't allow me to go. He's scared, asleep on the way, coffee, everything. Then I say, your life, you decide yourself. If I were you, this is life and death. This retreat is so important to you. Then you can talk to your parents nicely to resolve this misunderstanding. Understand? You tell your parents, I understand you love me. You are my parent. You care for me. That's why you are very, very cautious. You would rather me not to go. so that I can be safe with you. But do you know that I am no longer 18 years old or 12 years old? I'm already 50 plus. Please allow me to... Oh, not yet, 40 plus. 40 plus. 40 plus. Sorry, 40 plus. So please allow me, yeah, to have my life, to make my own decision in life. Your concern, I will try to address. Well, I told you, we already have to follow SOP. 3 days before you test. 1 day before that night, we test. Then 3 days later, we test. And most people up here also very concerned. Then everywhere you go is also dangerous. You go and work, Bank Negara not dangerous. Also very dangerous. You travel along the KL jam, also very dangerous. But if you want to make that decision, then it could be a coming obstruction. I say, what happened is your parent also will have coming obstruction. If he obstruct you from coming to this spiritual thing, which is going to benefit you a lot, in future when they want to come, future life, let's say they seek the Dhamma or what, then they will also be obstructed. Their parent will also tell them, you cannot go. You want this or not? Then I say, very likely I did not tell her. In her past, she did that also. That's why she got parents who did that to her. But luckily, later on, the last Thursday class, 2 days before, Tuesday class, sorry. She brought you small. My parents agree. At first, when I advised him that, I said, spoken already, they still don't agree. I said, how you say? You didn't apply Noble Eightfold Path. And say it very nicely, like what I advise her. I understand as parents, you love me. You are concerned about my safety. You care for me. You have sacrificed for me. And all this, I appreciate. Yeah, I'm your daughter. Yeah. But please, I'm no longer a kid. I'm already now 40 plus, not 50 plus. Please allow me to decide my life. And I will appreciate that very much because you respect me, understand? Not? So all these are the Noble Eightfold Path way of resolving issue, understand? Not? Resolving misunderstanding, then overcoming unnecessary coming obstruction. So like Dr. J. Yanta also very true. The mother has attachment to him because their relationship has improved so much. So he, the mother really wanted to see Janda. This trip I went down to Black Hill, I can see. The mother was so cheerful, so happy, and much more healthier. She, not so weird out. You can see a lot of difference. She had a lot of joy. Then now she can understand my talk. Funny. He said, wow, but do your talk very good. Last time when I speak, I hear Toku and then you are very tired. But this time, both Toku. And he told Janta, wow, very good. Because that talk is about the purpose and intent of life, understanding life. So that one very useful. Then it was recorded so they can listen. Very good. Okay, we continue.
29. Thought pertains to the mundane mind, and thought is dependent originating. Thoughts arises and passes away according to condition. Hence, it is impermanent, leads to suffering when you want things your way, which is not nature's way. 30. Memory. What is memory? Memory is accumulations of experiences, good and bad, one's conditioning, views and opinions, scars of memory, phobias, insecurity, tradition and belief system, etc. 31. Space between thoughts. Space between thoughts is wisdom energy. This is the true mind. You can only have more moments of silence, stillness, and space between thoughts when you have realized the wisdom.
So this one is very true. Huh? You understand why or not? When you have realized the wisdom means what? You're no longer so deluded already. Understand? You no longer cling on to things, grasp on to things, and give meaning to things. That's why you no longer think. Understand? You hardly think. You no need to think. What is there to think? Who think? The thought. And what the thought do? He think because he wants to solve problem. He think the thought can solve his problem. The more he think, the more fear arise, the more worry arise, the more problem arise. So thinking cannot ultimately resolve your psychological problem. Maybe what they call society's worldly problem. Sometimes you use thought, you can resolve it. But you resolve it not through the Dhamma way, sometimes cunning way, understand? Sometimes aggressive way, sometimes deluded way. Of course, you get what you want, understand? You can plan, you can scheme, then you can become very aggressive, very violent. You achieve what you want. But that is the way of thought. Thought is energy field. That's why it can go both ways. If the use of thought is without Dhamma, without wisdom, thought become negative, wrong thought. Understand? Then karmic consequence arise. Suffering arise. But if the use of thought has Dhamma, that thought become right thought, awesome thought, beautiful thought. Then you can use it to live life, like money. It's neither good or evil. It depends on the use of money. So understand this. Develop all this understanding, then you will become beautiful. Okay, continue. Yeah.
32. With a stable awareness born of yoniso manasikara, you can have more space between thoughts, leading to clarity, silence, stillness, and tranquility of mind.
So just now I already explained that. When you have wisdom, you have yoniso manasikara. At the moment of sense experience, spontaneously from the nature, it will prompt you. Then you understand. Then you don't stir your mind, you don't react, you don't do anything. Then you are at peace. Means space. Your mind still, silent, just away. That is how it can happen. Then next one, yeah.
33, awareness of negative thoughts. The moment you are aware of your negative thoughts and heedless thinking, the thinking momentum of these negative thoughts that conditioned your habitual thinking breaks. This is the reason why to overcome heedless thinking, you need to have a very stable mindfulness, awareness, or sati to just maintain awareness, to feel and relax, to decondition the heedless thinking while living life.
So you understand the power of mindfulness. Initially, very difficult. Your thinking is like this one. I always use this one to show you the example. You say thinking got a momentum. When you continuous thinking until you are non-stop, how to stop the momentum? Very difficult. You have to apply a lot of effort or strength to stop the thinking. But when you use thought to suppress and stop it, unless you force it into energy field, it is not a free mind. So no use. So what happens is, if you apply mindfulness awareness, every moment you are aware, it stops at that time. But split second, the momentum carry through again, the thinking start again. But you can have enough mindfulness and awareness to stop it until it completely doesn't stir, even for a moment, it's good enough. Yeah, why? The momentum of thinking, when you want to start again, need a lot of thinking. Understand? And you cannot straight away go back to the old way to think already. That's why awareness can break the momentum of thinking. Then from there, it will give you more space. The wisdom with yoniso manasikara will allow you to have more space. Because you are more at peace. You do not react like before. You do not stir your mind like before. So all these are the understanding that you need to cultivate. That's why have faith. Slowly, diligently cultivate this understanding. Yoniso manasika come from the direct seeing and also come from the contemplation. When you contemplate, reflect, it stabilizes. When it stabilizes, it becomes very clear. second turning wisdom. Then the third turning wisdom, if you can get it, it is very powerful. It will arise straight away, spontaneously to prompt you. And then you will understand a lot of things. Then you are not deluded, not deceived. Eh? Okay,
right.
Continue.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's a very good simile, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Using thought to control the thought is like swinging faster and faster.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Then you give more energy, you understand?
Yes, right.
Oh. Sadhu, sadhu. Yeah.
34. When there is more space between thoughts, the conditioned mind can break free more easily.
So this is what it is. Continue.
First, when you are constantly aware with wisdom, the heedless thinking cannot arise.
Sadhu.
And the phenomenal world of consciousness too will have no
power over you.
You.
See, this is how Dhamma unfold and transform the form and mind. Not through knowledge. All this is from the awareness. You saw the movement. Then you saw it slowing down. You saw it ceasing. You saw it become still again, tranquility. Then that true mind stabilized. So all these are understanding that you can develop. Then when you have that type of mind, you can see clearly. The phenomenal world of consciousness cannot deceive it anymore. Because it knows form is unreal, consciousness is unreal. The aggregates of mind are all unreal. Dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomenon. Not what you think. So this type of penetrative understanding can only come with mindfulness and awareness developed, stable. Okay, good. Go on.
35. Your true nature, without thought. There is only an awareness nature within. That is your essence of mind, your true nature, which is not a being. It cannot come out to live life. Hence, it is not you or self, anatta nature, because it is the unconditioned and there is no word or concept to describe it.
So now you have an understanding of what the nature is. The nature is a nature, like your karmic nature, your spiritual nature. It's not a being, not an individual entity that can come out and live by and say, this is me, this is I. No, that's why it's anatta inside there. And the anatta, sorry, that nature within has got no word, no concept, where is unconditioned. That's why no word, no concept. Where got emotion, where got fear, where got all the mundane mind's problem? Don't have. That's why stay with that awareness nature. You are always at peace, tranquil, but you have to live life. Understand? That's why you have to learn the Dhamma. To understand life, then only you can live. Live you what? The wisdom. When you have the wisdom, thought become wholesome, useful. You can apply thought efficiently, correctly, appropriately, following over effort. That's why you need wisdom. You need so manasikara to live life. So these are all interconnected, interlinked. I hope by now it has become clearer and clearer. Okay, go on, next.
36. Without thought, you are naturally aware. The true mind will naturally surface. That awareness is complete stillness, total silence. It is not a being, hence not you. 37. Without thought, you are with your true mind, the silent or meditative mind, in total emptiness.
You remember Hui Ning? His poem, his stanza? The third line, what is it? Pen lai wu yi wu. Originally, it was empty. He chu re chen lai. Where can the dust alight? That come from this understanding. That the true mind is without thought. And this true mind is the silent mind, the meditative mind, the awareness nature within. And no word, nothing there. So it's totally empty. Cannot talk, cannot speak. Understand? It's just aware. But that nature is beyond thought, beyond mind. It's spacious awareness. That's why it can understand things. It's not preoccupied with the thought, lost in thought. No, none of those things. Nothing cloud it. But the problem with human being is you think a lot and the thought and the emotion like cloud obstruct that nature. That's why the nature cannot shine forth. You are like being completely obscured. That's why you cannot touch that two mind. You don't know you have two mind. You dwell in the mundane thinking mind, the worldly mind, that continuously create delusion in you, sakkayaditti, avijja. Okay? Yeah, continue.
38. When you are just silent without thought, the true nature can insight into phenomena to awaken. 39. Your original state of mind without thought is your true nature. This is your meditative mind. 40. When you are truly silent within, you can see clearly how thoughts actually arise due to conditions as response to memory. If you are mindful enough, you can only see the formation and birth of thought.
You can also see.
You can also see the formation and birth of thought. And understand why thought is dependent originating. Simple inquiry for self-reflection. Why this thought arises first in me and not any other train of thoughts.
You will have this ability to understand all this. Well, later on when you become aware, then you start to have this awareness of the thought. Then you realize, why this thought? Then very easily you can trace back on it. It's because of certain things you do when in your daily life, you are not mindful and are not aware. And then you accumulate. I finish business. Then this thought, they come out on, respond to memory. Then the formation of thought, when you are really mindful, you can see the birth of thought, how it come out, and how it's dependent on you. But from those type of memory that you accumulate, you don't have those type of memory, that thought cannot come out. So this is what mindfulness is all about. It has this power to actually give you the ability to see, to understand, to develop the wisdom and the awakening. So the self-inquiry, or they call it the self-reflection, is why this thought, not any other thought. You find not yourself. Then you can trace back to your attachment, your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, your unfinished business. Because suddenly, like you come home, your office, let's say you kena scolded or what, that thought keep on appearing one another. You keep on recalling the like song where you got a problem with a customer. It cannot settle down as well. Why? Because it's from that conditioning. So in your daily life, a lot of these things, then when you understand what is dependent originating. If I don't have this wrong view, if I can resolve it at that moment, that instant, then I don't carry it into the memory. Then I don't have to be haunted by it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to keep on thinking about it. So this is related to life, true life. And when you understand this, like the mystery of life resolved, you've got no more such problem. Understand? Whatever it is, accept, resolve, finish, move. Understand? That's why I say resolve. Resolve means what? Take action. Don't go and complain. Understand? Whatever, resolve it, move. Otherwise, you keep on hanging, accumulating. You got more and more things to do. That's why like Jayanta now also improved. Last time, he got too many things on. No time. So now he more systematic. He resolve. Everything I saw him, immediately he do. Immediately he dispense. Last time, Sui, every time chasing, how much is the payment? Never come. No time. But now I see, like yesterday, like yesterday, 20 of you or 21 of you, very fast. Then go down again. So efficiency is systematic when you understand them. Well, recently he starts to understand many things. Then he becomes different. Like the mother starts to become different. Well, I think the mother saw him change. And the relationship all improved. Yes. What he did is he applied the dhamma. But I told him the relationship between parent and child. Their love, their sacrifice, everything. They give us life. We have a duty towards them. We have to express our gratitude, our respect for them. Yeah, they are our parents. And like the Mangala Sutta says, you take care of parents, your merit is immeasurable, limitless. That they are very important to you. So all this, when you develop the understanding, that's why later on, he go back. I can sense it. You know, when I saw the mother again, it was totally different. Then I saw Janta more happy. Not like last time. Argue. Yeah? He told me, argue. Then the earlier visit also, I can see sometimes friction. Because being a doctor, young, got a lot of duty. Then the mother, old school, traditional one, generation gap. So she got her style. You know? She was like, Dr. Yao, how he address you? Son. Sonny. Hey, Xiao, what's your name? It's like looking after the small kid. So when you grow up, you don't like your parent to keep on reminding you. But when you understand, when you have the Dhamma, like my mother, I held their hand. I say thank you. So, then my father saw I won't become monk, so he become like settled down. Then he gave me the cleanse with the Buddha. Otherwise, whenever I want to speak Dhamma, no. He don't want to listen at all, avoid me. Then my son, that time very young, he said there is no condition. Okay, no condition, so I can talk. But later on, he can see the way I handle situation, solve all the family thing, and bring up the family or thing. You know, my mother came over and looked after my kid. My mother go back and tell him, he said, the second son of his said, their family different, their children all very different. The others are there, the one my mother to look after. My mother offered the one. Yeah, they want to bring up their children themselves. They hear my mother-in-law saw and all those things, old-fashioned, all those things. No, when you understand, she actually can contribute and help a lot. That's why later on my wife come to know. My mother actually helped us for 8 or 10 years looking after my children. And my children also can remember her, Popo. Then they learn some Hakka from her, because she only speak Hakka. So this is what Dhamma is, very beautiful, very relevant to life. It can be a living reality. And when you have the awareness, you actually penetrate a different dimension of understanding of the teaching. Then you become different. Then you appreciate life. You have the virtue. You respect your parents. You love them. You care for them. Then people who have affinity, you know what to do. Your duty and all those things. So you become very different. You are not possessive. You are not aggressive. You are not violent. You are not unreasonable. All this will surface. And people can see. They can sense you. They know you are different. That's how they have faith in you. And this is how the Dhamma should be used or applied. Don't like the salesman go and advertise, then get a lot of people, then charge them. Then they want to become business already. So Dhamma is very unique, very beautiful. So once again, hopefully you develop the understanding and the faith, then that virya will drive you to diligently walk the path, persevere, not difficult. Okay, we have to stop here already.